It's Helping Hand on HPR. Helping Hand airs statewide on HPR One stations as part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered and is then archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and vulnerable people and animals. And animals are the topic today as we embark on a special first-ever two-day edition of Helping Hand. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we've got a returning guest organization, Elephant Action League. It's a nonprofit that conducts undercover investigations to develop actionable intelligence about wildlife crimes. Last year, they were our guests on Helping Hand to discuss a mission focused on rhino horn being smuggled into China. We'll hear about another undercover investigation, Operation Fake Gold, exposing smuggling of the Toto Aba swim bladder, the pursuit of which has pushed a critically endangered porpoise, the vaquita, to the edge of extinction. Also being smuggled into China, we'll hear how Chinese consumers are responsible for many of the most serious wildlife crime and extinction crises today, and how we can support this nonprofit in their fight to defend the animals, as we welcome back to Helping Hand Andrea Crosta, the executive director and co-founder of Elephant Action League. Aloha, Andrea. Welcome back. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Explain how you guys operate with a unique way of tackling wildlife crimes that goes way beyond defending elephants.
Yes. Despite our name, elephant for us is a symbol. One of the reasons I call this organization Elephant Action League is because elephants have characteristics that I like to see in people around me. So that's why we use elephants as a symbol. But in reality, our wildlife crime division, which is made up almost entirely of former law enforcement and FBI and CIA, we are focused on intelligence collection and investigation on a variety of wildlife crime, rhino horn, ivory, live animals, pangolins, orangutans, illegal fishing, like in this case in Mexico. When we started the Elephant Action League, I saw a clear gap in the way we were fighting environmental crime in general, which is without intelligence. Environmental crime is the fourth largest criminal endeavor. Billions and billions of dollars go to very dangerous people and criminals, and yet we fight with no intelligence. I thought that was time to bring to the table also intelligence, and what we do is basically go after wildlife criminals, environmental criminals, poaching and trafficking syndicates, international criminal networks, and try to help law enforcement to take them down.
And you went after those kinds of criminals in this Operation Fake Gold undercover mission. Explain how Chinese consumer demand for the Toto Aba fish's swim bladder is set to wipe out the critically endangered vaquita porpoise.
Yes, the vaquita is at the moment the rarest marine mammals in the world. We are talking about way less than 30 individuals probably left in the wild. They were okay until a few years ago. The consumer powers is growing very fast. We have now around 400 million people in the so-called middle class and 900 million waiting to become middle class. So it's an incredible amount of potential consumers. They are crazy for swim bladders from all fishes around the world. They import thousands of tons of swim bladders every year. The Toto Aba swim bladder became the very top. And that put an enormous pressure, of course, on the population of Toto Aba fish in Baja California, which in the meantime became endangered also. The only way to catch this Toto Aba fish is to use gill nets. And that's the problem, because apart from entrapping Toto Aba, which is illegal, they're also killing vaquitas, dolphins and sharks, turtles. The whole thing is so profitable, so much money. Real cartels got into the pictures. And this is exactly what our investigation found out. Former and current narco traffickers teaming up with the owner of the fishing cooperatives and with Chinese businessmen living in Mexico. They form so-called Toto Aba cartels, and they change actually the economy of the whole region, because a regular fisherman, one single Toto Aba swim bladder is $5,000. But now the crazy part of this whole story is that once it's dried up, the Toto Aba swim bladder can last for a long, long time, I mean decades. It becomes so expensive, they are not consuming it anymore, they're actually keeping it as an investment. The fisherman gets about $5,000 per kilo, but in China, the same swim bladder on the black market, it is sold for $25,000, $30,000, even $50,000 per kilo. We saw swim bladders of $100,000 just because they were 10 years old. So the older they get, the more price they get. So it's a whole weird industry around this swim bladder.
How big is the Totoaba fish?
It's big. It's a big, big fish. It's like the female is can easily get to 3 meters.
And the rest of the fish, they just discard it, kind of like a rhinoceros after they killed it for its horn?
Exactly. They just throw away the body. In Baja, in those areas, you walk on the beach and you every few meters, you stumble upon a carcass of a Totoaba, many, many, many. Because they just throw it in the water.
It's really heartbreaking. And again, it is Andrea Crosta, Executive Director of Elephant Action League, our guest on a special two-part helping hand we're doing today. What do they want with this stuff, Andrea? These swim bladders they're wiping these fish out over?
It's part of the Chinese traditional medicine. There are many, many products from nature. Some of them are legal, some others are illegal. It's really part of the Chinese cultural heritage, part of what they eat, what they do, what they think, what they give value to. In general, they have a very, very different values towards nature. Even in Chinese, animal is actually moving object. That's the translation. And it explains a lot the approach that they have to wildlife, to nature. It is there to be used for our consumption.
Are there any other countries or groups of consumers besides China that are getting this Totoaba swim bladder?
No, there's no other. All the Totoaba is going to China. It's actually, most of the Totoaba is actually going to a specific region of China, Guangdong, the city of Guangzhou.
So tell us how you went after these criminals.
The way we work in Mexico, but it's also the way we work on many other illegal supply chains of wildlife products, we usually create three groups that work together at the same time. One is usually led by me. In this case, in Mexico, my right arm was a very experienced former FBI agent. We also had a former captain of Sea Shepherds, undercover, but not deep cover. Then a second group is made up entirely of Chinese nationals, Taiwanese, who work for us. They are very experienced undercover investigators. We are actually using them all over the world. And their job was to engage as close as possible the Chinese traders in Mexico. They pose as buyers or as Chinese businessmen. They are trained in the use of undercover cameras and audio device, recording devices. And their job was to extract as much intelligence as possible from these Chinese illegal traders to record the conversation and to bring back home evidence, basically. Then we have a third group of people back home, crime analysts. For example, the Chinese team produce an incredible amount of material. So we have to translate everything from Chinese to English. We have to transcribe everything, every single word, name, telephone number, email, location, everything. So it's a very long work, but at the end, if you do it right, you produce real actionable intelligence that law enforcement can use.
So how can all this poaching be stopped?
Actually, where you have to hit is not the fishermen. So over there, I spent nights and nights and nights at sea chasing illegal fishermen, and I could see with my own eyes, it's impossible to stop them at sea. On the other end of the supply chain, it's also very difficult to change the mentality of Chinese consumers. So actually, the right point to hit along the supply chain, and our work is often to investigate the entire transnational supply chain and understand where it makes sense to hit, where we have the best chances to disrupt the supply chain. The best point in this case is actually in Mexico, but are not Mexican, are the Chinese. So Chinese nationals living in Mexico, some of them are second, third generation. They speak fluently Spanish. They are businessmen doing a lot of legal and illegal stuff at the same time. This is the point to hit. This is where you have maximum leverage. And this is where we suggest that law enforcement should hit. So we gave them a lot of information about those Chinese. Because if you neutralize those people, the entire supply chain breaks down. And also this Chinese national in Mexico are those who have more to lose because they're also doing legal stuff. So you can force them to stop. This is my hope, that after all the information we gave Mexican authorities, this is exactly what they're doing, I hope.
That's Andrea Crosta, Executive Director and co-founder of Elephant Action League, talking about their efforts to stop wildlife crime, a $20 billion international industry, and one of the biggest criminal enterprises pushing numerous species towards extinction. It's the focus of a special two-part Helping Hand this week, and we'll be back tomorrow with part two and a deeper look at China's role in this growing international issue. You can find this segment online at hawaiipublicradio.org.